The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader. 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Sometimes. For the most part, good morning. Hope your Tuesdays are going great. We talked about fannies today.
Adam and the fanny.
Who's got the best sports fanny? We talked about sports trophies. One listener just said, worst trophy in sports is in tennis. Look up the Western and Southern Open trophy.
Okay.
So now we got to Google that. Swag, you should know this off the top of your head.
I'm not familiar with the Western and Southern Open.
Western Open trophy for tennis.
It's like a vase. Is it vase or is it Voss?
Voss?
I don't know. Oh, that's regular tour event.
That's a bad trophy.
Voss feels a little pretentious.
We're just talking about championship trophies.
Voss feels very pretentious.
But I do hear a lot of people say, that's a nice Voss.
That's a nice Voss. Those are really bad trophies. That's up there. Those are horrible.
At least you can hold it.
You can hold on to it. Handles. That's for sure. So get your best trophies in. Get your best sports butts in for the final hour of the show. We'll go to Phoenix coming up at the bottom of the hour here. Let's get to the mail sack, shall we? You guys ready? Early mail sack today.
Yep.
Definitely going to carry over. It's going to be two sacks here today.
Okay.
Dick Burns right out of the gate wants to know, hey guys, mail sack question, is mayonnaise acceptable to put on a hot dog? Also, if you're the GM of the Blazers, what do you do this offseason? So very divergent questions that you can take in separate paths. No, mayonnaise is not acceptable on a hot dog. And I like mayonnaise. I tolerate mayonnaise. Hmm. So no, that's the answer there is no. White creamy substances, good on hot dogs, though. Cream cheese?
What?
Cream cheese is delightful on a hot dog.
You put cream cheese?
You never had cream cheese on a hot dog?
I'm just asking, like, you get
that's
cream
the
cheese
Seattle
out of
the... That's the Seattle style of hot dog.
I've had it, but, like, at home?
I don't do it at home, but it's delightful when I eat one.
So if it's on a menu, you will order it?
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I probably should do it at home. I don't know why I don't. I find it amazing. You toast the bun a little bit, get a nice juicy brat, put a little cream cheese on there. Big fan.
That's one that you need, though, other things like grilled onions.
Grilled onions
some,
are great.
Crispy bacon bits.
Yeah, so okay. Cream cheese okay with you, mayonnaise no.
Yeah.
Unless it's pimento cheese with mayo, then you're in because you didn't know there were mayo.
You're never living that down.
The cream cheese thing is interesting. I love cream cheese. You had a cream cheese and bagel this morning. You
love
walked
cream
in
cheese.
With.
I could eat cream cheese every day.
My problem with cream cheese is I don't prepare enough ahead, so my cream cheese is cold, and it just my bread rips. And I just get stuck.
You got to toast that bun, man. You got to get a hard bun.
Yeah, no. I still have the problem, though, when it's cold. Cream cheese doesn't spread very well.
Leave it out of the fridge for a while.
You kind of have to bring it out for
lukewarm
about 40 minutes.
Lukewarm cream cheese.
Yeah, well, and for the, yeah, for
a
the
little
usage,
more applicable.
For sure.
If you're the GM of the Blazers, what do this offseason?
I mean, you know.
Find anybody to take Jeremy Grant, trade Anfernee Simons, and pray that Robert Williams has a decent enough physical that you can trade him.
I mean, come on.
One, two, and three. Bingo, bingo, bingo.
What do I do? One, what dictates this is where the ball falls for the lottery. Where am I picking? If I'm largely where I'm at, I mean, look, man, they kind of poo-pooed going after the next swing on a young player. They did not lose in the manner. Like, if I would have told you all the numbers from these players were the same, you'd want Scoot and Shaden to have better numbers. But if I told you largely all the stats remain unchanged for all the players, but they lose six more games, are we upset?
Probably not. How much does six wins change your lottery odds? Because I know it would jump you ahead of Phoenix for sure, jump you ahead of San Antonio.
Yeah.
Let me see where Toronto. Let me see where Toronto was. Hold on. Googling. Six fewer wins would put you at 30. That you would have the same record as Toronto. You'd be in a tiebreaker with Toronto.
And you'd have what? That's the seventh?
Give me seven more losses. Then no, I'm not complaining.
So same stats, seven more losses, and you're just behind Brooklyn. So you have the seventh worst record in the NBA, which is kind of where I thought they might be, is between five and seven.
Yeah, where your odds are, 7-8% for the number one overall pick.
Higher, I mean,
right?
A better
8% at the two or three or four.
So, like, if they're going to tell me that taking swings on young players and hoping for the best, and I think that largely comes from, by the way, that Scoot is not becoming what they thought, and Shaden has been so up and down. I just don't think they're going to outright say that because they just drafted them. I'm probably looking to trade, but I would have traded a lot a long time ago, and they don't do that. So
status quo Blazers.
I would look, if they're not going to care about the draft the way we thought they would, I would look to trade. But they also love to tout rookie scale contracts. We hear that term a lot.
Got to have those rookie scale deals with $50 million coming off the books. You got to have those cheap contracts on the books.
I'd call Phoenix.
Booker? I would too. We don't need another guard though. We got two superstar guards. Well, three technically.
You give them young
the
players that haven't been signed to big extensions, so you free up financials. You send Phoenix an Anthony Simons or a Jeremy Grant for the money part, and you give them a couple draft picks. Like, yeah. I'd be in on that.
That would take actual swinging.
Devin Booker, Denny Avdija, Donovan Klingon, Tumani Kamara. Figure out the guard thing. Devin Booker brings up a ball half the time for the Phoenix Suns anyway.
That he does, Bob. Mailsack question, what is on your bucket list for sports venues, stadiums, ballparks, or arenas?
Ooh.
This one's a pretty
Madison
easy.
Madison Square Garden Christmas Day is a dream.
That's a dream for
I
you?
I want to be in New York for Christmas one time.
Now, is it just a specific, like, is that on your your bucket list no matter what, or just Christmas Day? Like, if I sent you to an MSG game in February.
It's on a bucket list.
Still on the list.
Like, the real bucket is
Christmas Day.
Is a Christmas Day. Get my Kevin McAllister on. Lose okay. my wife.
Yeah,
wonder
around,
where she's at.
Find a pigeon lady.
Wrigley. Fenway.
Wrigley, Fenway have to be on there.
Yeah.
For me, the other one that I've always wanted to go to is a January game at Lambeau.
Mm.
Cold.
My brother-in-law did
snowing,
that. It was snowing.
Like, I just, that's
the Seahawk-Packer game a couple years ago.
Near the high of, the top of my list.
He said it lived up to the hype.
Just Lambeau, dude. Yeah. The frozen tundra. God, that'd be great. And then maybe like an SEC night game atmosphere, like an LSU game, an Iron Bowl.
An Iron Bowl.
Something
cool.
Along those lines would be pretty cool. I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lambeau's up there. Fenway was amazing when I went several years ago.
Jealous.
Want to go to Wrigley. Definitely want to go.
See a day game. I think I'd want to do
a day
game in
at
Chicago.
Wrigley.
Yeah.
Night matches at the U.S. Open tennis tournament in Flushing Meadow.
I could have been a ball boy. One of my big regrets in life.
Kramer beat you out?
Didn't show up to the thing. Because I did ball boying for this tournament we had in Portland.
Yeah.
And that would have given me an in to go try to be a ball boy for the U.S. Open. And I was like, man, I'd rather
go
play
tennis.
Basketball.
Dying, by the way?
What?
I feel like every time I'm like near a park now, all the tennis courts have essentially been turned into pickleball courts.
I mean.
I think recreationally, yes.
Yeah, it's dying.
Tennis is becoming more, you got to have money.
I mean, just the clonking of the pickleball. Every time I walk through the park, there's like 800 seniors in there
it
playing
It shouldn't
pickleball.
Be a money sport, though. The courts are all free. The it's, balls
that
are cheap.
Is, but
tennis balls are cheap. You just get a racket.
Rackets
but you
but to be competitive, like to actually
to be good, yeah,
yeah,
the club stuff.
You're that. I would let the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black this year.
That's gonna be awesome.
Why don't you go?
You can pay Bethpage Black for what, $100, I think.
Well, if you're,
why don't you go though?
That's going to be expensive as hell.
It's going to be
your kid is grown. Yeah, you don't have massive
debt. You got a cheap mortgage, low interest rate. You're doing fine over there, Swigard.
You're 53, man.
Take all that hops money. Go to the Ryder Cup. Be a field reporter from the Ryder Cup.
The bucket list is the most realist for you right now.
Ryder Cup, that's a really good one. A Ryder Cup on home and away soil would be all. Like,
see,
I'd want
to go to a European one.
Go to a European one.
And be the ugly American who loves
everybody. Around. USA! USA! Wearing some, like, eagle costume with big wings.
Yeah, I don't know
around.
If it's
going to
be if St. Andrew. I mean, if you've got a Ryder Cup at St. Andrews, that'd be unbelievable.
Okay, most of us actually still really like you guys. We're still allies. We just, it's not us representing.
It's not us, man. You know? Mail sack question, are you guys egg snobs? We started getting free farm fresh eggs from our friends last week. It's night and day compared to what we get at the store.
Your yolks, if the darker they are, the happier the bird is, the less stressed the bird is. That's an indicator of a good egg. So
we need a dark yolk. That's what I'm looking for.
The darker the yolk, the better the egg.
The more golden and...
Yeah. The less, orange gold is hue. You're
no, that's just
for.
The way that the health or the way that they died, or the you know the is it like a petrified bird or like just happier in general?
You think chickens die when
that
they
was a pretty
eggs?
Dumb thing to say. That's not what I was thinking. I just was going along the lines of happier, like well, just in general health, like what
their
living
not,
conditions.
So a lot of it's dictated on a lot of elements, but like stress and anxiety and not being comfortable. Like when you buy the cheap ass eggs, which I know no eggs are anymore cheap, you buy the cheapest eggs, usually those yolks are a very, very bright yellow,
pale
color. That's probably a bird living in a cage, not living a good life whatsoever. It's just existing to give us eggs and meat.
Now, does it taste better with a darker yolk?
Yes.
Yeah.
You actually do taste a difference
with the difference
yolk.
With the dark yolk?
I've been an egg snob for 5 years now. Mm. I spent, and that's the funny thing about egg prices. Everybody's like, man, these eggs are so expensive. Look, I'm not a rich in any way. The egg prices have largely been the same for me the entire journey.
Because you've been buying fancy eggs.
I buy fancy eggs. I got a friend who has chickens on their farm. We watch their kids, so sometimes we exchange daycare for eggs.
Ah,
I'm definitely an egg snob.
Exchanging eggs. Look at you.
I got to go get eggs today.
Get your eggs, man. Get your eggs on.
Pasture-raised.
Pasture-raised eggs?
Pasture-raised eggs.
Okay.
It's the way to go.
I'm not an egg snob. Now I know what to look for in my yolk. Got to check out my yolks.
Dark yolk.
Find my dark yolk.
Happy Egg is a company. It's a yellow carton. You may see them from time to time. Those yolks tend to be a really good color.
Okay. Yeah. Find your dark yolks. We got more mail sack questions. We'll get to them next. And then go to Phoenix at the bottom of the hour. Back after this on The Fan. I almost feel bad interrupting it, but I have to. It's my job. Go to Phoenix at the bottom of the hour. Here's a juicy one.
It's a good song.
It's a good song. They're a good band. It's good. It's good music, man.
It's a good riff. It just sounds good.
It's got a good voice.
Good.
It makes you feel away, man, doesn't it? Here's a good one. Sack continues. Mail sack primarily for Sprague, but open to all thoughts.
Okay.
Young father here. My son is in his first year T-ball in kindergarten. And this young father says, I am already over having to attend every dang birthday party for every kid.
Oh, man.
His birthday is in July. I wasn't aware of the social contract that you had to invite and attend every kid's parties starting at his party. I just want to invite a select group, but other friends tell me that's a bad idea. Any thoughts, pros and cons for the young dads out there?
Yeah, so
this will be a thing I have to deal with relatively soon.
We have learned that I believe our school basically bans invitations to birthday parties unless the whole class gets them.
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I don't want people attending parties. I don't want a bunch of snot-nosed kids running around my kid's birthday party.
No, I'm saying, like, you can't go and give your best bud a birthday invitation because the whole class should get one.
Everybody's got to get
it. Because they're going to feel left out or not liked or anything like that. So it's kind of ridiculous. There's a social structure in society. You're going to get disappointed. We need to be building these kids up and say...
We do.
You're not cool right now.
No, a lot of kids aren't always going to be at your party.
No.
They don't care about your birthday.
Yeah, Tina doesn't like you. You're not going to Tina's birthday party. My kid just had a birthday party she went to this weekend, and I will tell you this. At the beginning, it sucks. It blows. It's like your Aunt Eileen, like, when's the birthday this weekend? And then they're showing up, and they're bringing the gift your kid's not going to like because they think they'll like it. And then also
that's just more crap you got to deal with in the house.
Little Timmy's parents are coming over, and Timmy's parents are very socially awkward. And it's like, did you see that game? I don't watch sports.
Cool. Good talk.
All right. I'm going to go check the dogs.
Check the grill.
We don't eat that food. It's just like you're dealing with a lot. And so, like, it sucks. I'm not going to lie to you. But what I would say is young dad advice, okay? Yeah. When your kid turns about 7 to 8, stop it. You say, drop off. You indicate it. You let the parent know, 2-3 hour party.
Tell me what time I'm picking them up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. And so this weekend, my kid, who's 8, she's going to be 9 soon, one of our neighbors goes to her school, is in her class, their best buds, literally walk down the road. Left her, we had 3 hours to ourselves. Yeah. I'm not hanging out at a birthday party.
No, what? So you're saying at 7 that can end? Can it end sooner than that?
If you really want to set a standard, 6 is a little young.
Little young.
But if you do it right at your own house, you can say, hey, parents, 3 hour party. And that's going to feel like a lot, by the way.
Sure, you got to suck it up for the 3 hours.
But if you also don't want to deal with the social interaction of parents you're not friends with,
yeah.
3 hour drop off.
Okay.
And you can come pick your kid up, and then you do the quick goodbye. And
Mail sack question, what is the weirdest or most confusing movie you've ever seen, or one that once it was done, you thought, what did I just watch?
Tenet.
What the hell just happened?
Christopher Nolan. Fink. That Tenet. Movie was awful.
Barton Fink?
See, you have a takeaway of awful. They're saying, what's the most
confusing movie?
I did not know what was going on.
Tenet.
I never saw Tenet or Inception.
Christopher Nolan, you never seen Inception?
I've never seen Inception, no.
Christopher Nolan, I think, is the best director. Certainly arguments for others is in there. I can't tell you how excited I was for Tenet based on some previews.
Seemed like a really big deal.
I saw it stoned and not stoned, and I don't know if I understood it more when I was high or not high. I don't know what that movie was about.
Yeah.
Rewinding time to change the I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it just ends.
It just was the weirdest dumb movie I've ever seen in my life, and it's one of the greatest directors I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's one of the best of all time. Mailsack question, if Phil Knight was never in the equation, but all other Oregon alumni in history remain the same, is there any chance they're in the Big Ten today? Because I'm not even sure they'd be in the Big 12. I don't think there's a program in America that is more indebted to one single man than Oregon to Phil Knight. Probably not. I don't know.
I would say I probably agree with that. They'd be a good program, yeah. But they wouldn't be what this is. And
probably not in the Big 12, sure. I'm not saying they're in the Big 12. I don't know about that. Also, I love coming from a Husky family. Your coach is openly begging for donations from Fortune 500 companies in Seattle. And if you don't get them, he said, we're in a lot of trouble. So,
well, I think what's interesting is, what is the trajectory if Phil hops out of that in like 97? He started it around 95-ish, right? That's when everybody tells you.
He gets cold feet and he's just out.
What if he's just like, nah, I'm done. I'll give you guys a little bit, but I don't think I'm going to fully go in on this.
I mean, they're not where they're at today, for sure. Does that make people feel better?
I love it. I didn't ask the question.
I know. I love what Husky fans drive that in. It's so funny.
They're going to beat you one year.
We used to be great. We used to be so good.
Damon Williams is going to beat you in Seattle, and they're going to have a field day that Monday.
We got half of a championship.
I mean, they got one, so.
A half of one. Mailsack, more for dirt. If you start chafing while walking around on a hot day, do you shut it down or keep walking and play through the pain? It's a great question.
I'm glad mine's about kid birthday parties.
It's a great question.
About groin chafing.
Chafing is a very serious thing. Happens a lot when you play golf. Baby powder. Baby powder, baby powder, baby powder. Now that I have a baby and powder is in my house, baby powder, baby powder, baby powder. Shove it down your pants. Pour it down your pants. Solves everything. It's delightful. Anytime you got to walk around with ham hock thighs on a hot day, baby powder.
Got a real uncomfortable image of your wife, just you and Teddy laying
just
on your backs,
holding
together,
my shorts out. Dump it, babe. Dump it. Dump it, babe. Mail sack question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Woo, I feel better now. Woohoo. Mail sack, I was getting emotional watching Rory finally break through on Sunday. Can you think of any other sports memories that made you emotional or brought you to tears?
So I also.
Sunday did. I cried on Sunday.
I didn't cry, but I got dusty.
There's tears. I wasn't bawling, but welled up.
And for you, I expect that. I didn't expect that for me because I like Rory. I root for Rory. I'm not obsessed with the sport of golf the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I can think of, maybe the Seahawks-Patriots Super Bowl, because I had a pretty good bet with a buddy, and that pick just made me so happy I might have had a tear. Definitely the LeBron-Cleveland title.
Yeah, that's a good one. Him winning the title in Cleveland, I think I teared up with that.
That was, I mean, I'm a LeBron guy, so like that
I
was
I hated
just,
the Warriors at that
yeah,
point, too, and it was
same.
Just a combo of both of those.
Klay Thompson basically suggesting LeBron's a bitch,
yeah.
And then him hearing that. And then, like, the sunglasses Zoom press conference he did where it's just like...
Yeah.
And then he wore the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt to go to the parade.
He did.
And then made Michael Jordan make the last dance because he's like, oh, my GOAT status might be in question.
Yeah, 73-win team. I just beat him in the finals.
All of that was, like, probably... I remember being emotional over that.
That's a pretty good one. Tiger winning in 19 did it for me, too. Just seeing him win again, hugging Charlie at the end, that was a pretty cool moment.
The Braves in 21.
Your teams, I think, will always make you emotional.
God, that felt good.
Yeah.
Oh.
Feels good when you win a World
Get
Series.
Get you one of
man.
These in the 2020s. Huh?
There you go.
People. One of these.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have a winning record.
Well,
you know.
We're trying. I
mean, efforting.
Only a couple games back.
Let's go to Phoenix for the Daily Ticker, shall we? What's going on down there? They fired Budenholzer. Is Kevin Durant on the move? Is Devin Booker available? They are imploding in Phoenix. How bad is it? We'll go down there next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this... Let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time, presented by Pelican Brewing Company, the return of warmer weather. God, how nice was it outside yesterday?
Pretty nice today, too.
All week. Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. We're a little frustrated here in Portland. Feel like the Blazers are maybe stuck in purgatory. Where's the next step? Where do they go? The status quo Blazers. You know one organization who has not been status quo? That is the Phoenix Suns. They'll fire your ass after about 6 weeks if they want to.
They're about to pay four coaches.
Four coaches at the same time. They might be trading stars. What the hell's going on in Phoenix? Joining us now is Brendan Clean, at BrendanClean14 on Twitter. He's a Locked On Phoenix Suns podcast co-host. Brendan, good morning to you. Not a surprise. Is this the first domino of many to see Budenholzer fired for maybe an offseason of fireworks?
Oh, it's absolutely the first domino of several. I mean, I think when you have a season 36-46, you underperform to the degree that the Suns did with the most expensive roster in the league and expectations sky high and an owner saying everyone in the league wants to be us and you do this. You more than one person's got to kind of fall on the knife, I think. So, yeah, front office changes, at least one member of the big three. Everything is on the table for this Suns team this offseason.
I don't mean to be a jokester here. Who is in the big three of this team that's not going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, maybe that third piece is interchangeable, but in theory, on the cap sheet, you know, Bradley Beal was supposed to be that guy. But we're already talking about crazy things like buying out his $110 million here in the Valley because he can't be traded anywhere. So it's pretty ugly.
Well, they don't have a draft pick in the first round until 2032, if I'm not mistaken. What is the next move, logically, you think, for the Suns now that they have fired Bud?
Well, I think the real answer is a little bit more, central to how Suns fans are feeling, which is we just got to get a vision here. I mean, we got to stop having conversations with this team every summer where how do you undo this move and which guy do you think might maybe be better under the next coach and things like that. And that just requires the owner to humble himself a little bit. You know, we have an owner here who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, I think, a little bit too often with this stuff. And I think reality has just proven that he's not. So that's you know, plan 1A, find a president, find somebody that can really run this rather than having it be the owner. But as far as like practically what we're going to see, I mean, Kevin Durant's on Twitter saying goodbye to people this morning. Like he's basically agreeing with all the reporters who go on TV every day and tell us that he is as good as gone. And so I think that's what you're going to see. Maybe they hire somebody who's going to make that trade, like I said, but the big move, the big thing people will be paying attention to with this Suns team is where does Kevin Durant go and what can they get for him?
You know, it's interesting. We're talking with Brendan Clean, who covers the Suns, Locked On Suns podcast, at Brendan Clean on 14 on Twitter. It's funny to like kind of put yourself in the mindset of other fan bases and like, I wonder how I would feel because we're not emotionally attached to it. So it's much easier said than done when you're on the outside looking in. If I put myself in the shoes of a Suns fan, though, I feel like I would be screaming from the rooftops considering where their draft capital sits, which is essentially non-existent. You mentioned Bradley Beal. He's got a full no-trade clause, and so he's got to sign off on it. Who even wants him at that number? So you might have to buy out of that. You can get something for Durant. I think I'd be screaming from the rooftops that this needs to be a total teardown. Like, everybody's available. Devin Booker can net you a lot. You can recoup some draft picks because you're in a climate in which you've always essentially had the ability to sign free agents. It's not a toxic place for people to go. People want to go live in Scottsdale and Phoenix and go play down there. Do you think Suns fans agree with that thought, or are they clinging to some semblance of, we kind of shuffle around Durant, maybe buy out Beal, we can still build a winner around Devin Booker?
I think the one way you can convince yourself that keeping Booker around is still the right thing to do is that he's under contract for a long time. So you're not under the pressure, and he's up for another extension already this summer. So you're not under the pressure of you got to do it in 1-2 years, right? Like you have some leeway, and he's only 28 years old. Like that's not young, but it's not the end of his career or even the end of his prime yet. So I would say the majority of Suns fans are still under the path of, hey, let's see how you can kind of reset this thing, give it a 1-2, maybe 3 years. Like you said, whether it's a trade or free agency, this is a desirable place. Like even this season when things were falling apart, Jimmy Butler couldn't shut up about how much he wanted to be here, right? So like that in and of itself, I think kind of proves it. But yeah, I mean, I think the fear is though, I mean, and you guys know this well. We've already been bringing up the example of Damian Lillard's last few seasons here in the Valley, right? Where it's like, how do you thread that needle where you don't hang on too long? And I think both player and management at some times, I think with these situations like what Dame went through, you look back and you kind of regret it, like you were just treading water. So yeah. I think that's what the Suns need to avoid is, you got to have a plan of what that reset's going to look like and how do you get that second star back on this team if you decide to trade him, and that's Kevin Durant right now. Who's the next one going to be? You got to have an idea of what you're doing to get back there. Otherwise, it's just keeping it together for the sake of keeping it together.
There was some indications yesterday locally that Chauncey and the Blazers may have gotten an agreement with Chauncey because they were worried that Phoenix was sniffing around to get Chauncey. Any intel on the Suns' real interest of Chauncey Billups being their next coach?
No, I mean, look, I'm not the best intel guy in this franchise is pretty tight-lipped on this stuff, but there were rumors last summer that that was the case, and I'll just tell you that, you know, the Suns whiffed, I think, in large part on their coaching the past 2 years because they didn't listen to Devin Booker enough. And 2 years ago, it was Kevin Young, a guy who was an assistant here, and now people are probably hearing his name in the NCAA tournament, you know, turning BYU into a powerhouse, getting the number one recruit. They lost him because they didn't hire him. Chauncey Billups was, you know, depending on where you were looking, the guy that Suns players, maybe Kevin Durant as well, might have wanted here. I'm not saying he would have been the difference between this thing looking incredibly better, but I think there's something to be said for if you want, you know, relationships to work in the organization, you got to hire based on relationships instead of, you know, plucking guys who have won championships before and might have that kind of pedigree, which is what the Suns did with Frank Vogel and Mike Budenholzer. So I do think Billups would have been a very much in their crosshairs if he had been available when they went out and started doing their search this summer.
Now, just speaking for this Blazer fan, go ahead and have him if you want him.
We just signed him. So
oh, that's
not,
right. Damn it.
That's funny, right? It's like the grass is always greener. One fan base is eyeing your coach, and then the fan base who has him wants someone else. That's always how it goes.
That's the way it works in the NBA.
Is there a real indicator for you, Brendan, that this is finally the – because Ishbia, I think the one thing I would say about Ishbia as a compliment is – he obviously cares, right? Maybe he's caring a little too much, or his way, as you mentioned, two hands on, dictating too much stuff. Is this maybe the final, okay, I got to trade Kevin Durant. I've been stuck with this Beal thing. That was a mistake. Booker's not happy, but he wants to stay here. I fired another coach. Like, I'm gonna pay four coaches, three of which won't even coach. Like, is this the final maybe wake-up call, I guess, for Ishbia to get some organization in his life and maybe hire and trust the right people?
Yeah, you'd hope so, right? And I think that's one of the main other reasons that I don't think that they're at the point where they would be open to trading Booker is that's just kind of the ultimate egg on your face, right? It's like at that point, you're not too different from where Dallas is at. You know, if you really tear it down that fast, I know you would be getting assets and things, and the Luka trade was an abomination, but to get rid of this cornerstone guy on top of all the other mistakes you made, you just can't do that. So I think that he's stopping short of going there. And I mean, as far as like the sign of change or anything, we haven't heard him speak after this season yet. I mean, you know, we're only 2 days after here, but he, you know, made unfortunate headlines for himself that I already joked about a minute ago last year when he spoke, saying everyone would want to be us still, you know. And I think the tune that he strikes with his comments this week, if he does kind of talk about things, is going to be the indicator, because he's the ultimate. I mean, if anybody's ever heard or seen an interview with this dude, it's a mile a minute talking, confidence to the you know what, like it is all in everything, the same way that he's run this team. But if he's a little bit more measured and humble, I think that that will go a long way to Suns fans at least feeling like, hey, maybe he realizes the error of his ways. Now, there's no going back, but at least that might help things going forward.
Interesting. Great stuff. Brendan Kleen is his name. He's covering the Suns. Locked On Suns podcast, at Brendan Kleen on 14 on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Thanks for the time, man, in Portland. I'm sure it's going to be an eventful offseason. Maybe we check in a few more times, depending on how many of those star players end up getting traded. Appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, enjoy Chimani Camaro, you guys.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we will. That's one of the few bright spots.
He's a good shooter. I don't know if you know this.
He's a great dude. His shooting percentages from last year to this year took a massive jump, man.
We highlighted that earlier. I mean, we wanted to tell you, like, this is what it was last year, and now this is what it was or this year.
We covered it in depth. That's what we do on this show. We don't miss a beat.
I'll say this. I know we're against it. There's a part of me that actually agrees with him. I totally get where you're coming from, and I may have even echoed, blow it up, trade Booker. Booker wants to be the career son. So easy tie in connection to Damian Lillard's time in Portland.
Yeah.
I think the difference is Ishbia, and Ishbia has not been good in any way.
Well, it's a free agent destination, too. I mean, you can sign free agents in Phoenix.
It's a free, and every time this league has a team that everybody tells me is in an impossible situation, something or a couple things break their way, and it's like, you know, they're not that bad now. And it just like...
Wait for this to happen with Miami. We all made fun of Miami for the entire season. Wait until they get Giannis in like 6 months. And we're like, oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, so they're going to be okay.
I just won't dismiss the idea that they could actually that around a little quicker than people are giving, despite how bad this
has
been.
I think a lot of it... Look, Kevin Durant's going to get traded. We know he's going to get traded. It's been a known thing since the trade deadline.
He is openly saying thanks to the reporters.
He's leaving. Yeah. What can you get for him? I think that's the first domino to fall of like, all right, how many firsts? Is there a young player involved? How much interest is? Is there a bidding war?
Dude, if money's not a problem, buy out Briel.
If you got all that kind of money, get that contract off your books. All of a sudden, things are freed up a little bit. Like, all right, you can navigate from there with Devin Booker still on your team. But a lot of it will have to do with the buyout of Beal and what you get for Kevin Durant. The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather. It's going to be a delightful week. Pelican is great year-round. It hits different when it's 70 plus, man. Oh, it's going to be great today.
Imagine
on the patio.
Being just looking out at Pacific City.
Oh, so good. Pelican they bring back their summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Are you playing in the playing? Are you watching in the watching? Are we excited for tonight? Next on The Fam. Hey, welcome back in. Final one for us here today. We got some poll questions.
Been a fun one.
It's been a fun little Tuesday.
Got to grade.
Sports butts handing out grades.
Did we get our official 4 sports butts, or are we still stuck at 3?
I don't know. I think we're going to have to noodle on that.
I think we're stuck at 3.
I think we're stuck at 3. Also, Larry Fitzgerald just seems so far and away better than any other butt. Such a good butt.
Him and Serena.
Just... We have one listener refuting Serena Goodbutt at the fan text line.
Really?
503-864-6326.
Anti-Serena butt.
Anti-Serena butt. Okay. It's lost in the jumble. I don't know where it went. But basically, they poo-pooed the pooper. They poo-pooed the pooper. Just throwing it out there.
I think at the height of the career.
I mean, it's a good butt.
I'm gonna
disagree with that.
I have a different. Maybe we like different butts.
It's all
different strokes for different folks.
All a matter of taste.
Yeah. Everybody likes a different kind of butt.
Yep.
Your poll questions today, would you be excited if the Blazers traded for Zion?
Hell yeah.
54.5% of you say no, thank you. 45.5% of you say, yeah, baby. Swing, baby, swing.
Would you trade the 9th pick and Jeremy Grant for Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
God, that'd be fun.
Yes.
Tamani, KD,
dude, we
Denny.
Are going nowhere. We have nothing to look forward to. Kevin Durant in a Blazer jersey where he should have been.
There are some things to look
forward to. Oh, yeah. Future's bright. Yeah.
Based on your expectations, what grade would you give Scoot Henderson's second season?
Mr.
A, B, C, or D?
I think C is winning, correct?
56.4% of people said C.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to know who the 2.7% are that gave him an A. Can you be my teacher?
What are those qualifications?
Dude, if they were my college professors, I would have graduated in 4 years if I got that professor. More F's than A's. 34.5% of you say B.
There's F's? I didn't put an F on there.
D's.
He didn't have an F season.
No, it wasn't an F.
Although.
One and A.
Generational talent versus what we are now.
Will we watch Atlanta, Orlando?
I'll probably have it on, but I won't be like in... Sitting down. Braves is also going to be tipping off at the same time.
So Giants are playing same time. I'm watching that over that. Will we watch Grizz Warriors tonight?
I would if I was home.
You would if you're home? Yeah. You're working tonight.
So am I.
Yeah. You are too. Grinding.
Not getting paid.
Clipboard.
It's called volunteering for your community.
Boxing one. Let's go.
Screen, 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 move, move, pass, move. Pass and cut.
I'll turn it on. It'll be on. Play-in starts tonight. Nobody cares about the East. Go away. Grizz and Warriors could be entertaining. I'll dive
Grizz
into that
Warriors
one.
Grizz and Warriors should be pretty entertaining.
Should be a good game tonight.
How many
should
grenades does Ja throw?
A lot of grenades. A lot of shrapnel in the Bay Area. That will do it for us, folks. If you missed the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Thanks so much for being a part of our Tuesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Go Winterhawks tonight over at the
go
BMC.
Hawks, baby.
Colin is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.